to our home in Black Mountain a number of years ago, one of the delights that we found was that there were a number of grapevines in the side yard. But the problem was the vines didn't yield many grapes because the vines had fallen to the ground and were just immensely overgrown. I mean, we had some branches that were over 20 feet long, and they had sprouted long branches of their own. Well, at the time, there was a man in our church who had his career had been cultivating the gardens of a college in New England, and he volunteered to come over and prune our grapevines for us. So I said, "Sure, come on." Well, when I got home that night, I was horrified. The formerly lush leafy vines looked like military recruits after their first haircut. I mean, there was hardly anything left. And I honestly thought my friend had pruned all our grapevines to death. Well, he could sense the horror in me as I looked at this, and he assured me, just wait until next year. And sure enough, that next summer, we had an abundant crop. In fact, so many grapes, we were calling in neighbors to come and pick them so they wouldn't go to waste. We are in our series in John 13 through 17, the Upper Room Discourse. And we ended last week, John 14, Jesus says something. He says, "Rise, let us go from here." It's like, what? You know, is the discourse over? Well, no, apparently he continues it, but now, not in the upper room, they're on their way actually to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will be arrested, but they have to go down the hillside, across the Kidron Valley and Brook. But as they're making their way out in the evening, there are all these vineyards around on the hillside, and Jesus must have stopped with his disciples. He's ever the teacher. And here he is passing through a vineyard, and he stops at a vine in the branches, and he begins to speak to them about spiritual growth. Now, if we are the least bit serious as Christians about growing, we want to know, and we're asking, so how do we grow as Christians? Well, Jesus tells us, and while we love the imagery of vine and branches, most likely we cringe in horror when it comes to pruning. You know, what, I got to be cut to grow? Well, this is what we want to look at today from John 15. John 15, beginning at verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, Jesus makes a rather outstanding claim here in verse 1, not to be a vine, but the vine. I am the true vine. Now, that must have been a bit eye-popping to the disciples because they knew their scriptures. They knew that God, in the Old Testament, called Israel, God's people, his vine. They also knew that Israel had produced nothing but sour grapes. And so here Jesus comes along and he talks about how God has now established a new true vine, him. And he is the vine, therefore, that all other vines point to. And we can take this literally. I mean, you go out in your yard, you've got a grapevine, your neighbor has a grapevine. That vine is pointing us to the greater vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life and through whom fruitfulness comes into our lives. Well, this is the Father's purpose for us. This is what Jesus speaks to right out of the blocks. The Father's purpose, and it's that we bear fruit, and not a little either. There's a progression here where Jesus speaks of the fruit. Verse 2, he talks about how we will bear fruit. The next sentence, we will bear more fruit. Verse 5, we didn't look at, we will bear much fruit. So fruit, more fruit, much fruit. God's purpose in your life and mine is that in Christ, there are basketfuls of fruit in our lives. Well, what is this fruit? Well, it's the fruit of a Christ-like character. There's an inward fruit and an outward fruit. There's an inward fruit. We talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians 5. This is simply the character of Christ. God wants our lives to be Christ-like, that is, to be generated by and just full of His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's an inward work, the inward fruit. But there's also the outward fruit of good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 14 says, Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help urgent needs and not be unfruitful. So you see, works and fruitfulness are equated here. Well, those outward works obviously are serving the needs of others. Outward works involve leading others to salvation in Christ and proclaiming this gospel, certainly to the nations. Jesus says in John 15 that our fruit involves getting answers to prayer. Verse 16 and then verse 8, he talks about bearing fruit gives glory to the Father. Well, think about this. You know, students, heading back to the classroom, as you go there and as you do your studies with a heart to glorify God in what you're studying, that drive, that is the fruit of a Christ-like character. As you prepare dinner for your family or maybe serve your family in some way, and you do it with a heart of gratitude that serves others as Christ has served you, that is fruit. As you work your job and you exhibit love, patience, and the gentleness of Christ for your employer and your colleagues, that is fruit of a Christ-like character. As you suffer with an illness or loss or setback, and yet you seek to testify to others in the middle of that to God's goodness and to your hope that you have in Christ, that is the fruit of a Christ-like character. When you're criticized or you're overlooked by others, and yet you forgive and you bless others as Jesus Christ has forgiven and blessed you, that is the fruit of a Christ-like character. So, what's in your basket? This is a question we need to ask. You know, where's the fruit in my life? And in a way, that's an awful question, isn't it? Because we're our own worst critics. But we need to take inventory of our fruit, and we look at the fruit that we're bearing in our attitudes, our affections, our actions. Can we say, can others say of us, I see Christ in you? Now, if you're even an average follower of Jesus, you're going to see growth in your life. Now, maybe a lot of growth compared with 3 or 4 years ago, but there may also be those areas where it's very spotty, even lack of growth in your life. Well, regardless of where you are, the Heavenly Father is committed to you. His resolve, His purpose is that you be more fruitful. We see the Father's resolve here in what Jesus tells us in the first two verses. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes up. While every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, notice the two works of the Father here. Father's the vine dresser, and there's two works that he works in our lives as He cultivates fruit in us. And the first is the lifting work of the Father, the lifting work. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He, if you look at your Bible, probably your translation says something like he takes away, or maybe He even cuts away. Of course, in our mind is God coming at us with a big saw, cutting off things in our lives. And I want to say that word is better translated, and this is pretty much throughout the New Testament, this word is translated not as takes away, but as lifts up or takes up. And the image here is of God the Father stooping over our lives, picking up what has fallen. And one of the things about grapevines, branches do not grow up in the air like limbs on a tree. They grow down, and they will trail the ground unless they are picked up. I mean, you look at any picture of a vineyard, and the branches are up off the ground. They're tied to a trellis. They're disciplined to grow along a line. You know, when our friend worked on our grapevines in our yard, that the barrenness of our vines had to do with the fact that most of the branches had fallen from the trellis and were growing along the ground. They were just smothered with dirt and grass clippings. And you see, only after he lifted them up and cleaned them off could they then get the proper sun and air that they needed for fruit bearing. Well, God, our Father, works in us to lift us out of what? Out of the dirt and mire of sin. So that we can produce fruit in Christ. Bruce Wilkinson, in his excellent book on John 15, Secrets of the Vine, tells the story of Catherine. And this is a woman he had met, I think, at a conference. And anyway, they were talking, and she started complaining about how she had never been able to break through to a rewarding Christian life. She said, "I just don't feel like my faith amounts to anything except guilt. I always feel like God is unhappy with me, that I don't make much difference for him in the world." She just felt stuck as a spiritual failure. Well, as Wilkinson talked with her, he asked a very probing question. He said, Is there unconfessed sin in your life? And in particular, is there unforgiveness in your life? Well, she was somewhat offended by that, but went away thinking about it. She came back the next day and she admitted to him that her heart was full of bitterness toward her mother. Her mother had hurt her years ago, and she had never dealt with it, and yet it controlled her life. Well, she showed Wilkinson 5 pages in tiny script lining out her bitter indictment against her mother. And as they talked about that, this woman, Catherine, she began to weep. She began to repent of her unforgiving spirit and to release her mother to the Lord. Well, suddenly as she was going through that process, she felt a lifting. She felt lighter than she had in years. She was lifted up. 6 months later, she wrote to Wilkinson about how she and her mother were not only reconciled and on good speaking terms, but that now God was just alive in her, and it was a joy to serve him. One of the reasons that you and I may bear little or no fruit and feel spiritually stuck is that our branch may be trailing the ground, covered with the dirt and disease of sin that we have not dealt with. But how good of our Father. He doesn't come whacking with some machete, cutting us off from Christ, you know, whom the Lord hates, he disciplines. No, but that's the way we tend to think of God when he prunes us. No, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And the Father loves you, Christian, and he will first of all begin by lifting up and cleansing those parts of your life that are messed up by sin so that you can grow. You see, our sin, it does not repel him. It draws him to us that he may deal with it. And so we ask, what branches may be trailing the ground in your life, hindering Christ-like character from being produced in you? Perhaps it's outright rebellion. Maybe it's a besetting sin. Maybe it's something hidden that you thought, you know, I'm never going to get over this, and so you've just kind of given up. You're just walking around in shame and feeling like a big disappointment to God in that area of your life. You know, when we give up on sin like that, we have to understand that we are actually running from God. We're running from the shears, so to speak, but we're running from God's willingness and work to lift us up in Christ. We have to understand that the Father is not willing to let us go. He will lift those things up in us as we cooperate with him. You know, take a moment. There's nothing magical here in this, but take a moment to think about those areas of your life where your branch is maybe trailing in the dirt. And give those to the Father. Maybe it's a fear, maybe it's some bad habit, maybe it's some besetting sin. Invite the Father in to lift it up and to deal with it, to lift you up and set you free in Christ. This is the Father's lifting work. It's a work of compassion and grace to set us free from sin in Christ. But there's a second work of the Father that we see here. And this is a careful, a painstaking and deliberate work. It's the work of pruning. Verse 2, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, if we're honest, this is the work we do not want God to do in our lives. I mean, we want lavish growth. We want long branches and abundance of fruit, and we'll take a pass on the cutting. But as in our gardens, so in our spiritual lives, pruning is essential to fruitfulness. Years ago, I met Dennis Wynn, who at that time was the vine master of the Biltmore estate. And he took me on a tour of the vineyards, and he was explaining how they grow grapes there. Well, I remember we passed by a fence line, and there were a bunch of woods on the other side. And this is where the workers took and threw over the fence, you know, cuttings, old vines, trash grapes. But, you know, things want to grow, and those old grapes that were thrown over had sprouted, and they were growing wildly throughout the woods. I mean, they were just everywhere throughout the woods. But here's what I noticed. There were hardly any grapes on them. They were all branch and no fruit. When we gain a measure of accomplishment in the Christian life, you know, we know what to do, and we can do it. You know, we can so easily drift into self-reliance. And so unless the Lord cuts back our growth areas, even our success areas, we may very well just keep growing in our own strength and ability. Now, I think this may be one reason people get bored with God and the church, because they're evading God's shears and just living on their own, growing, growing, growing. But if left to that, we may have really long branches. We may be really busy in all these wonderful ways, but we lack the fruit of Christ. And it just ends up being us. And when the Father prunes us so that we can no longer fall back upon ourselves, our record, our successes, our abilities, our inventiveness, our cleverness, what are we left with? We're left with having to cling to the vine in absolute dependence on the sap of that vine filling us afresh and producing new growth. And what we're left with when God prunes is the life of Christ having to flow again and again into us. And it's only though when that happens that new growth and abundance of fruitfulness happens. So what is the Father pruning in your life right now? Maybe immature commitments or lesser priorities. Maybe it's ways that you're just preoccupied with your life. And it's not necessarily sin that God's cutting out so much as it is just overgrown attention and reliance upon self. You know, maybe for you, it's running with an old crowd. And God wants to cut that off and move you into ministry with a new crowd, or maybe use you. And boy, it's going to hurt to have to address that old crowd and get them directed in joining you in service beyond yourselves. Can God prune your relationships? Perhaps there are ways that you're indulging your comforts, and while it's not wrong, life's just gotten really cozy, and God wants to make cuts to move you into larger kingdom agendas. Are you open to God cutting your comforts? Perhaps you love working out hours at a time in the gym. Or you just love soaking in social media and you spend hours doing that. And, you know, okay, but maybe you hear the sound of shears, God's shears. And God wants to prune back your time in the gym, your time devoted to social media, because he wants something else. He wants to free up time for your soul to work out with him in prayer and the word. Are you open to his cuts? God's pruning can seem really harsh at times. But what do we know from Philippians 1:6? He who began a good work, and I underscore good work, he's begun that in you, and he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. You know, God's going to begin this work in us. He has, and he's not going to stop. And here's something else we need to be aware of. Nothing is off limits in our life. Nothing. That you may bear much fruit for Jesus, the Lord may cut into your reputation, your rights, your freedoms, your resources even. One of my favorite stories is about a friend of Rachel, my sister-in-law in Richmond. Rachel's friend was very wealthy, and God began a pruning work in her life about how she had grown too secure in her wealth. And so God came cutting, and this is what it looked like. God led her to give a party. She invited a number of women to her house, and she met them all at the door, and she gave them different denominations of Monopoly money. And then she told them that they were free to go to her house where she had marked a number of pieces of furniture and knickknacks, and they could buy all these and keep them with the Monopoly money she gave them. These women were drooling as they ran around the house looking for these bargains. And then when they had exhausted their money and done some horse trading with each other, they regathered in the living room, and this woman began to tell them about how God was pruning her, telling her to give her things away in order to cut her sense of importance and security being based on her stuff. Because God wanted to shift her security and joy to Jesus. Boy, did that open some conversations for the gospel in those women's lives. Wherever God is pruning you today, it hurts, no doubt. But don't mistake the pruning of God for his anger. When God's pruning work comes, remember two important things about the pruning work. First, the pruning shears. The pruning shears are in the hand of a Father, your heavenly Father who loves you. His work is not random, it's not vicious, his work is not sheer madness. He loves you. So trust your Father and his good intentions toward you when you feel the pain of the pruning knife. But second, understand the Father's pruning work in light of what Jesus says. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. This word is about Christ, believing in him, trusting in him as the way, the truth, and the life. And as we, of course, believe and come to Christ, our sin is forgiven and we are made clean. Well, in light of that, the Father is looking at you. He's not looking at you with eyes of disgust, but eyes of delight. You're clean in Jesus. And so when he wields his pruning shears, the Father's not, he's not looking at what's wrong with you. He's looking at what's missing. And what is missing is the fruit of deeper intimacy with Christ. What is missing is greater depth of the beauty of his character in your life. And so your heavenly Father is all in. He's fully committed to you to draw you ever deeper into Jesus Christ. Your life may grow lavish with the fruit of his character. So again, what is God pruning in your life? What is he pruning in this coronavirus time. Some of you have lost precious things. What is God seeking to produce in you? A greater reliance, a greater intimacy, greater hope in Him. Whatever the Lord is pruning in you, talk about that. Pray for one another there and trust the Father. You know, probably most of us have prayed at some point along the lines of, Lord, I want to grow. Help me grow. But my guess is very few of us have prayed, Lord, prune me that I may grow. Now, I'm not saying pray, Lord, prune me, but please understand this. You know what? The Father is going to prune you. Count on it. And when He does, church, trust His good purposes. The shears are in the hands of a Father who loves you. He knows what He's doing. And when He is done, your life, it will hang heavy with the fruit of a life that reflects Jesus Christ more and more. And isn't that what you really want? Our Heavenly Father is a gardener. Allow Him in to cultivate your life. He will only bring what is good. Amen.